It was 1955, the year that the doors of ministry first opened up at the Evangel Home in Fresno. And welcome to the weekly radio voice coming from the Evangel Home. This is Heartline. Here's your Heartline host, Jim Tuck.
All right, here we are one more time. Who knows how many more times into the breach we will have this opportunity, but apparently today we will. So, well, we never know when the Lord's coming back. You know, this could happen any time.
I hope he doesn't come back in the middle of our show.
That's okay with me. we are in Jerry Brenneman's office, and around the table against the wall in here, Jerry is here, and we have a repeat guest. Brittany is with us, and we're just not sure where this conversation's going. Big smile and a beautifully made-up face and hair and a personality that kind of bubbles a little. So we'll just see where this goes. So, Jerry, bring us up to speed. What's going on in Brittany's world, and then we'll talk to her about that.
Brittany is in our garden program, and I think she is one of the two of the younger women in the program. Has been there, what, Brittany, about 6-7 months?
I've been there coming on my 5th month.
Oh, 5th month. Okay. So, and Jim, she's really, I think it's kind of hard for one of the youngsters. She's about 12.
No.
How old are you?
I'm 23.
Okay, 23. I think sometimes it's hardest for women that age in some ways to adapt here because it's like it really isn't cool and all those things that are important to younger folks. And yet Brittany has, to me, what I've seen, been grateful from the moment she walked in this door to be here. And one of the things she said that really has stuck with me, and you're right, Jim, she's a bubble. She is just, I'm sure she has her down times or sad times, but she wouldn't rope you and me into those times. Mm-hmm. And she's just the kind of person that makes you feel good to be around. But I remember last time she was on the show a month or so ago, and we were talking about one of Evangel Home's strengths being that we are personal and individual, and our numbers are not huge. You know, 30 women and 20 kids is really our maximum. And Brittany said that that was one reason she was attracted to the garden. One reason she wanted to go there is there were only 6 women, that she was not going to be lost in, you know, a dormitory kind of setting. She wasn't going to be lost among hundreds of people. She would be known. And I think that speaks very highly of what she wants to accomplish, because some people don't want to be known. That's why prison and jail are a more appealing option for some women, because they don't really have to be known. They don't have to really change. You know, they can just do the program there, mark their time, do whatever they want, and get out. And Brittany saw an opportunity to be known and grabbed it. So that's...
All right. Well, Brittany, big smile. I love it. But I'm guessing 5 or 6 months ago, you weren't a lot of smiles in your life before you came here. Otherwise, this probably wouldn't have been part of your current reality. What was going on in your world?
The Evangel Home picked me up from jail. This was my alternative sentence. You know, it's surprising. I actually was very, very joyful even when I came here. I mean, I was overwhelmed with gratitude that the Lord brought me here. But also, while I was in county jail was when I really repented and came to know Jesus. And, you know, when you're in jail, you think there's nowhere to go, nothing to do. But I would wake up and I would just feel like such a sense of purpose and joy.
Oh, wow.
And just like happy to be alive, even in jail. So I kind of came to Evangel Home thinking like, my walk with the Lord is great. Like, I'm not really sure what they're going to teach me. But I've found that I've learned just so much about who I am in Jesus. And I've just, I feel like I've grown a lot in my walk. And it's exciting to know that there's still a lot more.
Now, did somebody share the truth of the gospel with you while you were in the behind bars?
My mother came to know Jesus when I was about 8 years old. And I grew up going to church, but it wasn't real to me yet. It wasn't personal. Mm-hmm. But I went to a chapel service in jail, and it really felt like what she spoke on was just for me. And I went back into my cell, and I was just totally broke down. And I said, like, I'm ready to just surrender, because what I'm doing is not working anymore.
Yeah. Well, good for you. Life-changing, isn't it? Yeah, from the inside out, you're a new creation.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, Jim, it's funny because I often when I speak at graduation, I talk about having a first memory of every graduate. That's harder for the women who come to the garden for me to have that memory because I don't always see them right away. They might be there for a week before I even meet them. They don't come through the crisis home. So I do remember every graduate who starts in the crisis home. But my first really vivid, clear memory of Brittany was at our banquet. You came almost the day of the sign making, I think. Mm-hmm. If it wasn't the... Okay, so we have all the women in the Learning Center making signs. Two words on one side, how you were. Two words on the other side, how you are.
Yeah.
She comes in, new kid on the block, you know, 5 minutes out of jail. We give her paper and markers and say, okay, here. And she didn't even ask a question. She just started writing. And I remember very artistic writing, very legible, but very artistic. And I think in that moment, Jim, I thought, ooh, this kid is really special. Hmm. She didn't say, I can't do this. She didn't say, what are you doing? She got it immediately, knew exactly what words she wanted to use on both sides,
wow.
and did it in a way that was very appealing to look at. Mm-hmm. So you kind of stood out right then.
Hmm. Well, Brittany, how would you characterize, you've been taking classes now for almost 5 months. What have you learned? What's different? What's important in how you've changed?
I feel like what really stands out to me is before I came here, I really thought that like a drug treatment program wouldn't be for someone like me. It was for someone who was a lot worse off or farther into their addiction than I was. But I'm realizing that before I got really involved in hard drugs, the classes have shown me that my life just still was... It was chaos. Like, even though by the world's standards I was on the right track inside, I was just so unhappy. And the classes are just showing me, I guess, ideas, concepts that I thought maybe this is how healthy people live, but to see it just laid out in front of me, I really do feel like I'm getting tools that I can take out and just live more productively and just mature into a woman, an adult, and just let go of a lot of the baggage and fear that I used to carry with me.
Did you have a career?
I was always employed from when I was 16 until 21. I always had a job. I did get one big kid office job for about a year before my life sort of went into a tailspin, but yeah.
Now, how did the substance abuse begin?
I drank alcohol and I smoked marijuana in high school and stuff, but when I was about 21, I started using prescription painkillers. I was introduced to them by a man that I was dating, and I kind of feel like there's a certain personality that's very susceptible to opiate addiction, and that was definitely me. But, you know, I do feel like a lot of good came from that experience because it broke my spirit enough to the point where I realized, wow, I need God in my life completely. Whereas before I kind of thought I could scrape by. I thought I was, I seemed to have it together on the outside.
So you saw the advantages in the change a lot sooner than a lot of addicted people would.
I think so. I definitely was not a functioning addict, and I kind of think that's a blessing because if I were able to function better, I think it would have been easier to stay in that life for a lot longer.
You can hide it
right.
Very well. Mm. Yeah. So you're right. To not be able to hide something is kind of a blessing.
Yes.
Wow. Now, was it a happy home you grew up in?
It was definitely dysfunctional, but for the most part, I was happy. It was me and my mother, and I feel very blessed that she always made me feel loved. Like, I've always known that my mother adored me, and some people don't have that,
right.
So
Do you still have a relationship with her, and how does she feel about what you're doing?
Yes. God completely restored our relationship, and she's so happy that I'm here, and she comes and visits me every weekend.
I want to meet Brittany's mom.
Yeah.
I think about your mom a lot. Again, the age thing. Now, 50-year-old women in here, I don't think about their mothers.
Right.
But I do think about your mom because, again, I think of how it would feel for me to have a daughter with so much potential as you have and to go take that little detour that you were taking. And so there's that shared heartbreak, I think. And I'm just so glad to hear that, that your relationship with her is fine. And she seems to be okay now. Yeah. So... I hope we're not putting too much pressure on you here by saying, talking about your potential, because that's one of the things that I could guarantee you, Jim, that when I, the women in the garden, our alternative sentencing program especially, I see many, many bright women. Hmm. And I can guarantee you that if you look at their second, third, fourth grade report cards, if teachers still write on report cards... They would say, so-and-so is very bright and not living up to her potential. Hmm. I could guarantee that. Somewhere, almost in their brightness, they get trapped. Hmm. And the brightness becomes a darkness. Hmm. That's one of the things I pray for little kids in my life that I know are really sharp and bright. And in your life, too. That you want God to be able to meld that brightness, I think, with a humility and a usefulness. Right. Otherwise, it turns to boredom and it's like, oh, is that all there is?
Yeah, and unhealthy explorations.
Yeah,
absolutely. We deal with that. Brittany, what do you see unfolding in the next few months while you're here? Are you building relationships? Are you in a position now to build your truth into the lives of other women?
I hope so. I really feel that in the past few weeks, the Lord's really put it on my heart to just focus on Him.
Hmm.
I became really...
Good answer.
I was becoming really conscious on all of my character defects as I was working the steps and stuff, and I was just like, oh, I'm so terrible, and I keep messing up, and I really feel like the Lord just said, we'll deal with that. I'll deal with that. You need to focus on just being surrendered to me.
Mm-hmm.
And as I've been kind of trying to live that way, I've gotten a little bit of my joy back. And I have built some relationships here so far that I can tell are going to be lasting. What I think is really neat is that these are people that probably under... other circumstances, if it weren't for the Evangel Home and God, our paths would have never crossed. We wouldn't have been friends. People from different walks of life, but it's like God said, "I want them to be friends." And it's cool.
Great. Well, we're basically out of time, Brittany. Thank you so much. Can you believe that time's gone already? she says, wipes her brow. I hear so much wisdom in your thought processes and good judgment. So I'm just convinced of. You know, stay strong, focus on those priorities, keep the main thing the main thing. You're going to be fine. Would you agree, Jerry?
I would agree.
All right. Now we're done. Thanks, listening friend. We look forward to our next adventure when we get back, your Lord willing, on Heartline from Evangel Home of Fresno.
You can find the Evangel Home of Fresno online at evangelhome.org. Their phone number in the 559 area code, 264-4714. Thank you for joining us for this week's edition of Heartline, the radio voice of the Evangel Home in Fresno.